Cubberty on 2FM with Super Value Travel Insurance. Holidaying at home or abroad? Don't worry about a thing with Great Value Travel Insurance at supervalue.ie.
To something completely different now, because it is estimated that nearly 300 million people in the world suffer from scoliosis, a curvature of the spine. An Irish woman with an extremely severe form of the condition has become the first adult in the world to undergo what's called magic rod surgery, where magnetic rods are inserted into the spine and magnetically stretched over time to straighten your back. Her name is Deirdre MacDonald. She's from Drogheda in County Louth, and she's here now. Good morning, Deirdre.
Morning, Ryan. How
are you? Nice to see you, by the way. First of all, it sounds sore. So we'll get to that bit in a minute.
Yeah.
But what we need to do is to talk to you a little bit about your early years growing up. Because what age are you now?
I'm 34 now.
Right. So if we go back to the beginning, and when you became sort of sentient and aware of your of what was going on in your life, tell us a little bit about that.
So basically, I have congenital scoliosis, so I was born with it, which is a lot more rarer than to develop it.
Okay,
which would be idiopathic. So I was born with scoliosis. I was diagnosed when I was 6 weeks old. Yeah. I was sent to Crumlin. And then I had my first surgery at 6 weeks of age. So I obviously didn't know what was
going on
or whatever.
Of course.
My parents had to deal with all of that.
Like, well, that's the hard bit.
Yeah. So I wouldn't have been aware I was any different up until probably I was, God, I'd say 7 or 8.
Yeah, that's the age you become aware of difference. Yeah.
Just in school, I was more aware, especially with PE, I couldn't climb high frames. I couldn't do, like, run very far. I used to dread sports days because I knew I couldn't run, but I didn't really know why.
What was wrong with you? It was the curvature of the spine, is what you're saying?
Yeah, I have a mix of two. I have kyphoscoliosis. So I have scoliosis, which is a three-dimensional side-to-side curve. And I have kyphosis, which is a forward bend.
Right.
So that would be kind of the more extreme.
And how does that affect you physically then, if you're walking? I mean, it's not very pronounced as you walked in here this morning. You know what I mean?
Because so, you're being fixed. Yeah.
But when you were younger, was it a lot more profound?
It was very, very noticeable. Mm. But the amazing thing is, even up till a couple of years ago, people would say to me, I never knew it was your spine. I thought it was your hip. Or, because scoliosis is obviously a curvature. So your hip is raised, your shoulder is down.
Yeah.
So you walk with a limp. So people would assume, you know, if you didn't know it was your hip or it was your leg or, you know, even now, there's not a lot known about scoliosis.
Okay, so it's an unknown country for a lot of medical reasons.
It is, like, in a way, yeah. It's kind of even hard to pronounce.
Yeah, I know what you mean. You're wondering about that C, aren't you?
Yeah, that's true.
So tell us about growing up then with that. Was it tough? Would you have got looks and comments? Or?
Especially the big thing for me was I never learned to swim because in school, obviously, you went to swimming lessons and I wanted to go. I went a couple of times. There was one comment from one child. I don't know who it was now, but since I think I was about 10 at that time.
Was that enough?
That was enough.
Isn't
never
amazing?
Ever went back again.
What did they say to you?
I remember I was standing with my basket to hand it in for your clothes and they said, oh my God, you've loads of scars on your back. And I knew what they were. I was aware I had scars. I didn't, when they're on your back, you don't turn around in the mirror and look. You know, I didn't know they were, they're not bad, but to another child, they probably were horrific.
Yeah.
So since then, it was like, no, I'm not going back.
Totally self-conscious.
Totally self-conscious,
taken aback by that moment enough to drag you into the shadows.
That's just the way children are.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think anything bad of it now, but because of that, I never learned to swim. So to me, that's a big thing.
Would you swim now?
I'd get in a pool on holidays. I'd still be fine, but I can't swim.
No.
No, and I don't think I'll learn now. I'm but actually kind of afraid of water.
Yeah, but you can if you want.
I could if I want, yeah.
Someday. So let's go back then to you're into your teenage years and, you know, discos and meeting boys. Was that an issue or was that no issue at all?
Well, clothes would have been an issue. Being a girl, obviously, I love clothes and you might be out and see a lovely dress and in the shop and turn it around and it has a low back. And God, I can't wear that. And now it wouldn't bother me. But back then it was devastating. It was the worst thing I could have at the time, you know. And just being out and, yeah, I suppose with boys or whatever. As you kind of get into relationships, you've some explaining to do. You know, it is hard and you're kind of go into yourself a little bit. But I never had problems in that.
No, I'm not surprised.
No.
You know, because it's the tyranny of beauty, as I call it, really, in the teenage years, is a very difficult time to be.
It is very difficult.
Because it's all about the superficial.
It is. You know. It is really how you
But you're able to break through all of that.
Yeah, I was. And I just explained, you know, I would be in hospital a lot. And, like, my boyfriend now, he's wonderful. Mm. He's been through everything with me and seen me at my worst. And if he didn't kind of run now at the stage, you know, I don't think...
He knows where all the bodies are buried at this stage.
He knows where all the bodies are buried at this stage, yeah.
Confidence must help, though. Did you come from a family that were always encouraging you?
Yeah, my parents would always... They would never tell me I was any way different.
Lovely.
You know, they'd... You know, you're well able to do it.
Good.
And going back with the swimming, I wanted like a two-piece swimsuit at the time. They would have been all in, but my mom was a bit reluctant because she knew, you know, she's afraid somebody would say something to me. But then she said, look, it's going to happen. Just buy her the two-piece and I wore it and, you know... Send her out to war with the war scars.
Yeah.
But, I came through it all, so...
Yeah, you won the war.
I won the war
Tell me a little bit about the fixing of the problem, as it were. So, medically, when you were younger, if you're in your early 30s now, so in your 20s, did you feel there was always going to be hope to straighten things out, literally?
Yeah.
Or did you feel hopeless? Where were you with that?
Like, I've had surgeries on and off throughout my life.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them would be sort of masking the real problem. At one stage, a surgeon wanted to lengthen my leg to make me look more even. But if that had have been done now, my other leg would have had to be lengthened. But they were afraid, basically, to operate on me.
Sure.
Because I also have spinal cord issues. I have what's called diastemastomalia, which is a split spinal cord. And then I have syringomyelia.
Yeah. Do they come up with the hardest words possible just to trip you
always?
That's
very,
what
very difficult.
They invent these crazy words so that, you know, in interviews like this, you have to go on into it.
So I have those two issues as well. So to the way surgeons would have seen it back then, you know, I was fine, I was coping, I was walking, I was alive. You know, they didn't want to put me at any more risk than what they, you know, for an outcome that might have been a hell of a lot worse than what I was. But that was until Pat Kiley came along.
And tell me, it sounds like he came along on a white horse in armour, did he?
He literally is the best surgeon in the country. He honestly is.
So tell us about the tests then, and the tests you had to do on the day of those tests.
The breeding test.
Yes.
Yeah. So when Pat Kiley took over my case, I was going downhill really, really fast. At one stage, I knew myself I was constantly chest infections, which would lead to pneumonia. If I didn't get an antibiotic, I would probably be on 18, 20 antibiotics in 4 or 5 months, which is absolutely crazy. Yeah. That's like 20 years supply to a normal person.
Yeah.
So Pat came along and he took one look at me and knew, you know, I was in a bad way. And with kyphoscoliosis, your heart and your lungs are really badly affected.
Mm-hmm.
So, especially in a growing child, because as you grow, your curve grows with you in the wrong direction. So I was sent to Piedmont Hospital which is used to be a TB hospital.
Right.
It's now respiratory mainly. So I was sent there last January for respiratory tests. And the first day I had to do a 6-minute walking test, which is an average, like, stroll. You know, yeah. There's no big deal to do a 6-minute walking test. But the physio, he put an oximeter on my finger to take your stats, so your oxygen levels and your heart rate. And after 2 minutes, he roared at me to stop.
Right, 2 minutes?
2 minutes, yeah. But I felt fine. And my oxygen levels were gone down to 84, which is absolutely horrific. Anything under 95 is...
Danger zone.
Danger zone.
Okay.
Anything under 90, you're looking to be nearly entubed if you went into A&E. Yeah.
So he said, stop immediately.
You
have the breathing function of probably a much older woman.
Yeah. My heart rate went up to 196 beats per minute after 2 minutes.
Right, okay. So you were in a bad place.
I was in a very bad place, but I couldn't feel it because that was normal to me.
Yeah, yeah. You know? So you were kind of, there was kind of almost like this medical intervention got you in time. To do what? Yeah. What was the next step then for you?
So magic was invented in 2008. So... But to try and get funding for magic was the next big step. And whether it would work for me was, you know, we didn't know because magic is meant to be only for children.
Right. M-A-G-E-C, isn't that something? Because people think we're talking about Harry Potter for a second.
Yeah.
It's called?
It is pronounced magic, but it's magnetic controllable rod.
Right.
So it's just magic.
Normally for kids, but you're quite small, aren't you?
I am.
Did that help you? The fact that you weren't a basketball playing six-footer?
Yeah, that really benefited me, which was a great thing now. So I would be quite small, but at the end of the day, my bones were still 34 years old.
Yeah, I understand.
So they're not malleable anymore. They're harder to shift. So the risks was always, you know, this might not work. It was last chance saloon because the results of the walking test in Piemont, I was told I had 10 years left to live, basically. Yeah.
God, that can't have been an easy conversation.
No, I left the place absolutely in tears.
Who were you with?
Myself.
On your own?
Yeah. Okay. I kind of liked doing things.
You preferred to be?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Where did you go?
I was found crying outside Piemont Hospital
by
one of the nurses. I got to know them quite well, being in and out, so they brought me down to one of the rooms and gave me coffee and gave me hugs, and they were just flabbergasted that I was after being given this news, you know, and I had to go home and tell my mum. You know, I burst in the door absolutely in bits. I just couldn't believe it. It was like how, you know, I knew I was bad, but how had I become so bad, you know, in a short space of time? Absolutely unbelievable.
Incredible.
Really. Yeah.
And distressing.
Very much so, yeah. So at that stage then, Pat had always said, you know, the risks of putting me under an anaesthetic, my lung function was only 30%. So if you think about it, somebody who smokes all their life and is at least 70, their lung function is probably 70 or 80%. Mm. And mine was 30, true, just being squashed. So to try and get an anaesthetist to monitor me for surgery, it's not an average day.
No.
Day's work for him.
No, you're a special case, aren't you?
I am completely special.
Okay, so the operation was, just to put it into human speak, because you're so medicaled up with your life story, which is absolutely understandable, is to put a rod in your back, is that right?
Yes. Yeah.
With a view to the rod increasing as.
Yeah. It's the only way to describe it is literally like an old fashioned radio, like the wireless aerial.
Yeah.
It can be at its shortest point. And then it can be made longer. So it's put in at its shortest point and then it's magnetically controlled.
Wow, the science is extraordinary.
Yeah.
And how do they magnetically increase the rod?
I was going to say like a lightsaber, but it's not. It's like this crazy sci-fi control that literally in an outpatient they stand over you and run it up your spine and it elongates the rod.
And that's happening with you now?
Yes.
And so you go in how often for an elongation, as it were?
Yeah, to be stretched.
To be stretched, yeah.
I've had six so far.
Yeah.
So we're going to try maybe one or two more. But we think at this stage my spine has stopped.
That's enough now.
It kind of won't go any further.
So have you straightened up then?
A hell of a lot.
Have you?
My curve would have been at its worst 130 degrees.
So you were bending over.
More side to side.
Side to side, excuse me.
So now my curve is roughly about 42, which is...
So you're a new woman.
I'm totally a new woman, yeah. Yeah, cosmetically wise, more than anything, yeah.
The 10 years to live thing has changed too.
Has changed. We went back and the tests were redone again. He actually told me to speed up after the 2 minutes. I was walking too slow. So everything is within a normal zone.
You got your life back?
I've got my life back.
Oh,
yeah.
Lord. What a great story. I was all sad a minute ago. Now
no,
I'm delighted.
It has a happy ending. A happy ending.
So are you still in and out of hospital or is it?
Yeah, I have one surgery left to
go. Just one?
It will be to get a full fusion.
Yeah.
And that will be totally the end of it all.
What a great
after
story.
34 years, yeah.
What a great story. The amount of people texting in about scoliosis and they're thrilled we're talking about it, that it's not a kind of much discussed medical scenario. We'll get to all of those after 10 o'clock. But Deirdre, got to say thanks to you for coming in. We'll just say goodbye
Thank you so much.
A real pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you, Brian. Yeah.
That was a good ending to that story. But you've got a charity called Straight Ahead I know you want to mention before we say goodbye.
Yes, Pat set up a charity called Straight Ahead, which is a great name for a scoliosis charity.
Isn't it?
So he gives his time for free. He doesn't charge a fee and he operates for free on the worst time critical children in Crumlin to try and get the
down.
He's absolutely
He's
incredible.
Good. He's one of the good ones, obviously.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we're trying to get as much funding
as possible. Okay.
Yeah.
Deirdre, thank you so much. And
thank
to you and your boyfriend and the rest of your family, I wish
you
happiness into the future. Deirdre MacDonald joining us live in studio this morning.